All right, guys, welcome back to Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. It's episode 76, and I think it's pretty crazy how close we're actually getting to episode 100. And finally, for the first time in forever, I'm back to sitting across from Moritz Batscheider. Cheers to you, my friend.
Cheers. And I just realized, should I put up some form of light because it's getting pretty dark in here?
Maybe. Is that light switch right there next to you right there?
Yeah, I can...
It's a nice romantic... ooh, there we go.
Yes, sir.
I was going to say, it's getting nice and romantic in here. It's going to turn into a very different kind of podcast.
We are sitting in my living room. We haven't done that in a very long time.
Has it been... I've been gone. It's been a two-week hiatus for me.
Yeah. Which before that, we've been in the studio, I guess.
Yeah, that was the last one, Georgie Fisher.
Seems like it.
I think so, yeah. That's crazy, man. It went by so fast because I was only, like, technically I was only gone for 8 days, but that little window was just so crowded with stuff before and of course, during and then, like, just after that we had to have, like, a two-week break from, like, the normal show. So,
no.
How did you feel about... I know that there was like one episode where I gave like a little insight into, you know, what an average life in New Orleans is like with a family there.
That was pretty sweet.
That was kind of cool, man. And I know that, and so like, how was it?
And it was
for
nice
you?
to hear Matt and Jenna.
Like the real life vibes.
Yeah. Because I don't know when I've seen him the last time? At your wedding, I guess.
Yeah, it means
which
it was
is already
3 years.
3 years ago.
Yeah. 3 years this month, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, dude. But, I'm really glad that one worked out the way it did because I wasn't really sure if it was too, like, noisy or too cluttered or too long or something. But I think having this, like, almost 20-minute just audio, like, what do you guys say, Hörspiel?
Mm-hmm. Well, like a whore spiel.
what's the...
It's like an audio play, right?
Yeah,
audiobook,
is that the term in English?
There might be a term called audio play,
but for that exact thing, Hörspiel.
I don't know if I would say like it's not an audio book, an audio, I don't know, audio story, audio adventure. I'm not sure. Like I think it's just like an audio experience.
Okay,
But like the translating literally from like a hearing play, I would think like sort of like an audio.
But it seems like there's
thing.
Not
audio
such
theater?
A such a huge market in the US for that if you don't have a term for it.
But there it might just
because
be
because in Germany,
else.
Hörspiele are a thing, are definitely a thing.
Oh yeah, you guys have the three question marks, right?
For example, yeah.
But what do you call that again? In
die
German?
Drei Fragezeichen.
The three is actually called the three question marks.
Yeah.
Ah, that's right. That's right. Can you explain to someone like my mom what the three question marks actually is? Because, I mean, everyone I know here is obsessed with it. They've known it since they were kids.
Yeah, but I wanted to ask you first, is there an American original to it?
I don't think so.
Okay, because it plays in America.
Does it really? I know there's like the Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys was two brothers who solved like innocent sort of like Scooby-Doo-esque crimes.
Okay.
And then there was Harriet the Spy, which was like a Nickelodeon girl who had movies.
Okay.
But the three question marks I never heard of until I came to Germany.
Okay. But you have that often like with literature or Hörspiele that play or even movies from Germany that play in the US but don't have an American original. But the three question marks is, yeah, kind of the what you call the Hardy Boys. It's three boys, and the twist is, or why so many people are probably obsessed with it, are that the like the cases they solve often in the beginning. So in most cases, there's a happy end, and it's obviously like written and performed as the audio play version for kids. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these cases sound pretty drastic and evil.
Is that
in the
but
first
is that
place.
Like a common thing with German stories for kids that they're kind of dark? Like the folklore and stuff for kids in Germany
is super twisted. The folklore
is
super dark.
It's twisted, man. It's like all the kids always die or get maimed or something.
Yeah, and then this Disney came and made them more.
Disney came and was like, happy ending for everybody.
No one is eating nobody here.
No. Dude, what's the worst German folklore story you heard as a child? Or like the harshest?
There are a lot of. But I guess one that really... Yeah, that was really bad was... Like this... Like, there's one, Max and Moritz.
Okay.
It's called Max and Moritz, and they're like two boys that play tricks to everyone in town, and just like, and there's always, I don't know, a granny or someone older that gets mad at them, and so pretty innocent in a way, but they get. For the stuff they do for, like, I'm not sure if I remember this right, but there's one story where they steal like chicken from a stove, but they do it with a
from a stove, like from an oven.
Yeah.
Oh.
But like an old one, an open one with a what do you call it? Kamin in Germany.
An open, like the door is open of the oven?
No, no. The oven has an like a pipe to the rooftop.
Oh, like for the smoke.
Yeah, what do you call it?
Like a chimney.
Yeah, chimney. Yeah. Exactly. And the thing is, they get on the roof and steal it by letting down
a fishing line.
A fishing line.
Oh.
And steal the chicken
and pull it up through the chimney.
Exactly. Okay. That's super funny. But for stories like that, they get punished pretty evil. And as far as I remember, in that story, they are getting fried in the end in the oven.
They fall. They get pushed in, or they fall in, or something.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's horrible.
And there's one that was pretty evil that is meant for little children that, I don't know, don't want to take care of how they look, etc. It's called Struwwelpeter, and it's about this kid.
Say it slower.
Struwwelpeter.
Struwwelpeter. Okay.
And it's about this young boy who is like,
yeah, he's a Lackaffe.
No, but he's like he's like, I don't know, he has like in these images he has like, I don't know, several centimeter long fingernails, and I would say hair like me, so pretty
kind of wavy and
yeah, like, exactly. And he also gets punished pretty evil for that. He doesn't look how a young boy should look. As far as I remember, for his fingernails being too long, they cut off his fingers.
Because his fingernails were too long, they chopped the actual fingers off.
Yeah.
That's so twisted, man. Like, I don't understand how, like every kid in Germany doesn't grow up with this extreme anxiety. I mean, especially in the South, you have Klausentag, you have the Klausentag.
We talked about that.
Yeah, we had a whole special about that, and it just terrorizes these kids. And then you have the folklore. I think the only one that really, there might be more, but the only one that really like translated over to us, I think, was like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, basically all of the fairy tales that Disney picked up, like also Cinderella is a German story.
What? I didn't know that.
Snow White.
That's also a German folklore. Yeah,
like the Gebrüder Grimm. I got that.
The Brothers Grimm. That's German. I should have
German
probably known
Austrian,
that.
But it's written in German language anyway.
I should have probably known that one. I didn't know that.
So that's the only connection. Like all the stuff Disney picked up. Like all these fairy tales. Wow.
I mean, the only Brothers Grimm, it's sad. I mean, I knew later that there were books. I've still never read them, but the only Brothers Grimm thing I knew for most of my life was that Matt Damon movie. I think it's Matt Damon and I want to say Orlando Bloom, but I'm probably wrong.
What movie?
It's called The Brothers Grimm. But I think it was from like early 2000s, maybe like 2005 or something. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty positive it was Matt Damon and somebody else.
I just checked to be sure they are actually German.
It is German.
Because I already see my mom getting pretty mad at me for really messing up those horrible stories that kids are told, and also not knowing where the Brothers Grimm are from, but they are actually German.
Can you Google really quick the movie, the Brothers Grimm movie, and see who this other actor is? That's killing me. Matt Damon and... Let's see. countdown.
Let me check. Brothers Grimm. Matt Damon and Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger!
Oh, what a cast. Ledger. Heath Ledger, Monica Bellucci, Matt Damon, and Lena Headey.
Wow. Wow. I remember that movie,
I know nothing about this movie.
I think it was around the same time that Hugh Jackman was doing like Van Helsing. I think after Lord of the Rings, like, and Harry Potter had just opened up the world to fantasy movie-wise. You know,
it's from 2015. I just checked the Brothers Grimm movie. So it's not that old.
2015?
Yeah.
That can't be true.
That can't be. Now, when died?
No.
Heath Ledger died before.
Heath Ledger died in 08.
Oh, 05. Sorry.
05. I was like, there's no way. Because Dark Knight was 08.
A video of a trailer here that was from 15.
Oh, okay.
But originally released in the US, 05.
I was like, no way, dude. That's a pretty all-star cast. But I remember like early 2000s, Lord of the Rings bust out in like 01. I think Fellowship was 01, which is insane to have that 20 years ago. That's crazy to me now because Elijah Wood doesn't really age.
Mm-hmm.
But 01 was that. Harry Potter was also 01 or 02, something like that, the first film. So around from 2000 to 2000, probably 7, was like everyone trying to, you know, glob onto the fantasy because it was making so much money.
Yeah.
So then they had like Hugh Jackman's Van Helsing. They had, Brothers Grimm. And they had, I'm wondering, you know what they had? They had Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland also like 2006 or 7.
Okay.
Was that one. So they were all trying to like get into this fantasy money.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff. Also the what was it called? Narnia?
This whole Chronicles story, of Narnia.
They also did that around that time, as far as I remember.
Was Chronicles of Narnia also a German thing?
No, I don't think so.
No, maybe because it has a happy ending.
And we talked about it before, Inkheart.
Inkheart, yeah, right.
A lot of stuff like that, yeah. What's the time for that?
Maybe you should add the Brothers Grimm to your movie list that you'll never watch. We should start doing this movie thing, man. It's crazy.
We could start with the first one tonight since we're already in my living room.
Yeah, what was that? Was the first one Parasite? Or was no, it was Old Boy. It was Old Boy.
I've seen Parasite.
It was Old Boy. That's right.
Yes. But since you mentioned before that you gave us this little audio play about how regular American life is.
How regular New Orleans life is. But, America, I'm not sure.
And it was pretty sweet, but I want to ask once again, how was it for you? Like, dude, it must have been pretty crazy.
I really needed that. It was like when you're sitting on the edge of a river on like a mid-August day and there's no shade and you're simmering in the sun. And you're sweating profusely and you're like, your head hurts from the heat. It's so hot. And then you decide finally it's time to go jump into that cold, fresh, revitalizing river. And you get that like, and your heart rate increases and your fingers get kind of cold and you go under and your ears are kind of numb and your face gets red and you're like, oh, that felt so good. And you feel like kind of awake again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back and sit in the sun and you feel like completely back to normal. You just feel like you're cool, like you're so cool that the sun is, it needs to warm you up again.
Nice.
It was like that. It was really like that. I needed that so bad, you know.
I believe that.
My mom even wrote me a few days ago and she was like, did you get this feeling that you wanted from it? You know, because she knew that I had basically described it to her in so many words, like, I need this, I need to see home and like go home. And then she's like, did you get that feeling? And I was like, absolutely. You know, because it had been over 2 years since I had stepped foot in America, not even like going to New Orleans or seeing all my friends, but just being in America had been over 2 years. And it was like, I can't believe it had been that long. The pandemic had held everything back. And although during the pandemic, I had been so lucky because I don't know where there's any wood, knock on wood, I never got COVID. And then also I had new jobs, like you know, our podcast has been doing slowly better every year, and Ego FM gave me a new job, and you had this new album.
You were here in a part of Europe where COVID never hit, and I don't want to play down anything that happened in Germany here, but it wasn't as bad here as other places. And I gotta say, at times during last year, I wouldn't have wanted to be in the US.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like within
like pre-vaccination, it was horrible there.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Nobody took it seriously.
No.
I mean, of course, the thing about America is like for every person that doesn't do something right, there's always another person that does do it right. That's why it's such a humongous country, you know? So it's hard to generalize, but like a lot of people didn't take it seriously, or they made it political, or they made it a conspiracy, and it became such a twisted landscape with like, there was like President Trump and there was Black Lives Matter and then there was the pandemic, and it was like, America's on fire.
Yeah.
And there actually was California fires. You know, it's like, this place is blowing up. How lucky am I to be here where there's just far less of that sort of intense, you know, life-changing controversy and death threats and fear and paranoia. And then the vaccinations came. And that's when I think the EU kind of screwed up, because they were, you know, I mean, you know this, you're a journalist, but like debating about the costs and the efficiency and from where and manufacturing and stuff. And America was like, how much? I'll take it. I'll take two, you know, or whatever. And they just decked out, you know, they just, whatever, they dealt out all these vaccinations. And dude, it was so crazy. I mean, you know, I saw how they handled it firsthand, because before the flight back to Germany, I went to a CVS in New Orleans to take a test. Even though I am vaccinated, you have to have tests to fly. So I went there to get a test, and next to the test center was just a nurse with a mask and a shield sitting at a little like fold out table that you put sandwiches on at a barbecue.
Yeah.
Was sitting there like resting her head on her elbow and like looking at her phone, just waiting for people to come up and get vaccinated. And I sat there because I had to wait maybe 20 minutes for this other test person to finish. And I was sitting there, and this, I don't know, like 21-year-old dude just like walks in the door, and he's like, is this where I get vaccinations? And she was like, yeah, right over here. And he was like, do I have to like make an appointment, or is it good? And she was like, no, you can just come and get it. He's like, all right, sweet. And he sits down and he rolls his shirt up, and he's just looking at his phone. And she just pulls it up and goes like, squirt. And then he's got it. And he's like, is that it? And she's like, that's all. And he's like, cool, thanks, see you later. And just strolls out in flip-flops and like cargo shorts or whatever, because Johnson & Johnson's just one shot, you know?
And they don't at least write it down somewhere or anything?
I mean, maybe they took a picture of his ID or something. Okay, but I mean, the whole thing was like 5 minutes. And when I got my vaccine in Germany, it was
crazy,
an adventure.
Because I got vaccinated the first time the week before last week. And
Part one,
yeah.
Oh, I think we didn't even talk about that. Or did we?
I'm not sure. You weren't there. Anyway.
I missed everything. No, that's great, man. That's great.
And for me and for so many people I know, like, especially, I would say around my age, probably up until your age, like everyone between, I would say, 18 and
between
35.
18 and like 35, yeah.
Like for most people, and weirdly, it really is something special to get an appointment.
Right. Like your priority group has to switch.
I had so many people around me that were super hyped, like, yeah, finally, I get an appointment to get my first vaccination.
Yeah, that's how I felt. That's how I felt.
And for me, it happened pretty spontaneously, because I...
How did your priority group change, or did it just open up more?
I was a higher priority because of my job, and I already had an appointment in May, which I couldn't attend because I was sick, not COVID. I think we talked about that.
Because you had this
weird infect.
Yeah, that's right.
And I couldn't attend that appointment. And after that, at the vaccination center in Munich, the big one, they didn't have any more appointments because they didn't have...
It's ran out of vaccinations.
Yeah,
right?
They didn't have vaccinations anymore. And...
Which is wild.
Then it happened pretty spontaneously over a connection that they offered me... And I got a call at 11 in the morning, and they were like, hey, we spontaneously kind of got a lot of vaccinations, and now a few people cannot attend their appointments.
Yeah.
Could you be here in 3 hours? then you could get your first shot, and you'll get the second one here as well 6 weeks after. And I was like, yeah, I'll check that with work, but I'll be there. So
yeah, that's awesome.
And for 2 months now, all of the time I was ready to be wherever, I would say, in a circle of around probably Munich and 50 kilometers around, to be there at any given moment, within 45 minutes with all the documents and heat and everything.
You had everything with you.
I just was ready all of the time.
Dude, and you know that that feeling when you finally get the date and you have everything like planned out with, you know, however, you know, like, okay, where am I going to be coming from on this day? What train do I need to take? How long does it take? Should I walk? Is it difficult to get to? Should I take a cab or whatever? And then like getting there and seeing this huge vaccination warehouse. It's like an airport hangar.
Have you never been to this area? Because it's the Munich Convention Center.
Well, it is
pretty huge.
It's humongous, like, dude.
4 or 6 of these hangars.
I know this sounds dumb, but what's that final U-Bahn stop that's like the convention center? It's called the
Messestadt.
It's like the Messe, yeah, but there's also this R. I think it starts with an R. There's like this. You know, you get out to the stop and you can walk one way to this big convention center, and the other way is like this shopping area. There's all these big, you know what I'm talking about? You get out.
I've seen it.
You get out, you're under a thing. There's a big staircase to your right that leads to like a shopping center. It's like the Riesel or the Rassel or the Rattle or the...
Riem.
The Riemarkaden.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what I'm thinking of. So there's like the Riemarkaden there, and then the left is that big convention center.
Yeah.
And the only time I've ever been in that area, except for my vaccination, was in 2019, but it's probably 2018. Whenever I switched over to this new booking guy, probably 2019, it was really cold. It must have been like a January or something. And I got a gig in the convention center at like a very small whiskey tasting room.
I remember that because for a moment, it wasn't clear if you would play that solo or with the band. Yeah,
right. And then finally, it worked itself out. And dude, I remember getting out of the U-Bahn, looking forever, like, where's the right way to go? I'm not sure. I had never been to that area before. Just taking a risk, walking down this one way, and getting inside of this place, getting the booking guy to call the lady to let her know I was there. She met me at the front door, and then walking me through what is like, you know, 45 Costcos, like 45 Texas Costcos combined with like 3 IKEAs.
What's a Costco?
A Costco is like... My mom is probably laughing right now. A Costco is a very big and popular shop in America, which is where you buy everything in bulk. So you have like a membership card. And you go, like, let's say you want to go, you could go to a shop and get like toilet paper and mayonnaise and milk and candy or whatever, but which is a funny combination of things. Toilet paper, mayonnaise, milk, and candy. But instead you can say like, but I want to go to Costco and get like bulk items, like huge amounts of it.
Yeah. So we have that in Germany as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like several, it's like more a special interest thing, and you regularly don't only get these cards if you have a business, and where restaurants, etc. shop.
I had a card for there when I worked at this Swablest in Munich. That's right.
By the way, there's one in Munich, which a guy in Rome, an Italian guy in Rome, told me that you get the best Italian food if you want to like shop Italian groceries in Germany. Mm-hmm. And they have like 2 huge shops, one next to Dresden, one here, I think in the north of Munich.
Okay.
And it's like the same thing with Italian groceries and food.
Just a huge warehouse. And it's huge. Of great stuff.
And this guy in Rome told me, you live in Munich. Nice you do, because then you can go there. But I haven't made it yet. I guess our common friend Sebastian has been there, he told me, and it was great. It's called Spina. Yeah. S-P-I-N-A.
S-P-I-N-A.
And as far as I've heard, I didn't make it yet. We should go there and shop some nice Italian food. But it should be great. Yeah, but I know what you mean. That's a Costco.
Yeah. So just a huge place of bulk items. And they So I met the lady at the front, and then she just walked me through this windy, curvy path. And at some point, like, I kept cracking jokes about how long it was taking.
No.
And then at some point, I got kind of nervous that I wouldn't find my way out, because it got to being like a 15, 18, 20 minute walk inside of a building.
No.
To get to a room where I was going to set up with this little acoustic crap and like play in a corner. But they did give me nice whiskey glasses. And in the end, I did get lost and eventually did find my way out. So like, instead of playing like a 1 hour gig in a room, it was like 3 hours of like just walking to get everywhere I was supposed to go. But yeah, I had been to that area just for that concert. But otherwise, I still got lost on the way to the vaccination. I still wasn't sure where it was.
But it's huge. It's been there enormous. Like two or three times for the ISPO, it's called. And it's the world's biggest like sports and outdoor hobbies
convention. Like an expo of all this.
Like an expo of all these, yeah, action sports and outdoor activities. And like... I first saw these ridiculous stand-up paddling boards there before they were a thing on the market.
They're so popular now.
And the things why I went there, like I went there one time for M94.5 and two other times with a good friend of mine who is now a coach and used to be a freestyle skier.
Mm-hmm.
And he had appointments there with all of his sponsors, like the one where he got his clothes from, or his helmet, his skis, whatever.
You had to go to the convention center to do that.
To meet them, because a lot of these people only come to Germany for that convention one time a year, etc.
That makes sense.
And so they meet their athletes from there, etc. And I went there, not because I was interested in his sponsors meetings, but in this one huge hangar where all of these, you could say, skiing and snowboard manufacturers were, clothing for that, etc.
Yeah.
It was completely ridiculous, because until like 4 p.m., it was kind of a conventional expo, as you would imagine it,
like Comic-Con for skiing.
Yeah, and still a lot of business guys around. Funny stories. There were
agents and cards.
Yeah,
and...
there were a few they actually were from China, Chinese businessmen, mm-hmm, who had a new thing. They wouldn't walk, but they had their
Like the Segways?
No, they didn't have Segways. They're
like the hoverboard with one wheel.
I'm missing a word here. They're cases.
Like the suitcases?
They're suitcases
that they carry around. And
no, they were sitting on them, and they had an electric motor and were riding on it.
The suitcase had a little motor?
Yeah.
Like I want one of those.
These suitcases with four wheels where you can plug out this
You pull like a little handle out?
Yeah, exactly. And if you switch the handle, it turns into a
little scooter.
Into a wheel for driving. No. And you can ride on your suitcase. And it was so funny to watch, because everyone was walking, and they were dressed up like I don't know what business they were working in, but they were riding on their suitcases and seemed to enjoy it. But anyway,
I want that. Dude, I've never even seen that before.
Until the afternoon, it was like a regular expo, you could imagine. A lot of business going on, a lot of interest, people, media, looking at new items and whatsoever. But after 4 or 5 p.m., this whole hangar of this, and you can imagine this kind of, the kind of dudes and girls that hang around with like snowboard companies.
Dude, athletes, I mean, some athletes can really, they can party down.
After 4 or 5 p.m., this whole hangar turned into a huge party. And most of the companies that had their stands there had like barrels of beer and were freshly out giving it there. People were smoking in the hangar at one point, from one point to another. And it was a huge party. Just
That's
there.
Awesome.
And it's so weird, because everything is so ridiculously huge and has this pretty sterile like business character. Okay, here are new items. This is a huge market. And when you go in there, you know it, that there's a lot of money to be made from these companies. But from one point to another, it's just a
just like, let's go, party. Let's get ripped. Oh my God, man. I can totally imagine that too. Like this prestigious sort of like wealthy market culture just flipping a switch at some point. It's like Wolf of Wall Street. It's like, you know, big business stocks all day and then just like Quaaludes and Coke and weed all day.
Yeah, it's super crazy because it's so and everything is so openly shown, and a lot of crazy things happen at these parties because in these hangars, all of the stuff they showcase there, mm-hmm. there's a lot of crazy stuff you could do a lot of crazy stuff with, and like
Mr. Batchhider?
Yeah, like they build up huge pools in there to showcase new, I don't know, kayak boats or whatever they sell.
Oh, you could and actually stuff like kayak that, indoors.
And build up climbing walls and whatsoever. Like it's super crazy.
I kind of want to go, even though I'm so unathletic.
we should go there when it takes place the next time.
Do you know when they do?
Even normally it's the last week and plus 2 days of January.
Oh man, I kind of want to do some rock climbing. Probably next
year. I could imagine that.
I kind of want to do like a wall climbing thing.
Yeah,
and I'm really terrible at it.
Even if you're not there for the party, just to watch is crazy. But yeah, that's where we've come a long way here. That's why I know the message that.
Well, like, how long did you stay there for that party? Did you just keep going with it and just enjoy?
I think around midnight they kick everyone out, but it starts at 4 p.m.
It's like a 7-hour party window right there. Oh, that makes so much sense because then these business guys can still be in bed by 1.
Yeah, and they can clean up the hangar.
They clean it up.
Because at 8 or 9 in the morning, business starts again.
That's unbelievable, dude. That's really like that insider sort of 1%er type of like mentality a little bit. Yeah. Like here's everyone in the suits and the ties and like the, here's my business card. I'm Mr. Yeah. Johnson. But then at the end, they're like,
you have those guys plus all of these. I don't know if you don't had so much to do with snowboarders, but imagine like all of these surfer dudes, etc.
Yeah.
You also have these kind of guys because they hang around there and check what's the new snowboard of this and that company.
And those guys drink.
And then you combine those kind of surfer snowboarder dudes with the business guys.
I love it.
And it's a crazy party.
I love it, man.
But I that's one thing why I'm a little bit sad, if you could say so, that I didn't get my vaccination shot at the center there, because I really wanted to see it.
You wanted to see that party again?
No. I wanted to see, because I only know that place from that certain
like
and parties there.
Are you talking about like the literal Impfzentrum?
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to see that.
That's where the party was.
I'm not sure if it's the same hangar where it happens, because there are multiple.
Okay, I thought you meant like that's the building you were in.
No, but I wanted to see the vaccination center there because I only know this place from these huge expos.
These crazy parties and expos. Yeah. That's same, yeah. I just knew it from this convention center.
And I heard so many crazy stories, like they have this infrared like temperature scanning when you get in. Is it that way?
It's a little... Wait, you didn't go there to get your first vaccination?
No, because like I said, I couldn't attend my, because I was sick.
But what does the second one, the one that you got?
It was, long story short, I don't know if you've met Michi, who did also a volunteer at M94.5. He's finished now. And his dad has a company for, I would say, as far as you've told me, I would say pretty similar to what your dad does, like work security and everything.
Like safety.
Safe stuff. But German-wide. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty huge, and that's why they have an own like institutes with Germany called Betriebsärzte,
okay,
like work doctors there, and these doctors, because with big companies they have their own doctors, etc.
Right, sure.
And they can also vaccinate, but the thing is why I got the appointment there is that in the priority list of who gets vaccinations. First, you have the vaccination centers and the regular doctors, etc. And at the very end, you have these, like, what's the term for it? Betriebsarzt, company doctors? I'm not sure.
Company doctor, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they couldn't plan so well with their appointments, because it could happen that the vaccinations that they were promised don't come the week they should, or they get, they get a track of vaccinations that they didn't think would come. And that's what happened there. Like, kind of surprisingly, they got a lot of vaccinations, mm-hmm. and people couldn't attend their appointments. And so I got a call because I know him, and he got the vaccination the day before. And so that's how I got it. And it's outside of Munich. So I didn't get it at the vaccination center, but okay. I would have liked to see it, but the
but is it just a one, and you have to have a second one at some point, yeah. Right? Okay, okay.
But so I also get that there.
You get it there as well.
Yeah, they gave me the shame. They gave me the second. But
I mean, it's cool that you get it, but it's a shame you won't see this giant building. Sure. It's so crazy. The way that it worked there, and I even made like a little video. I think I sent it. I think I put it on Instagram, but maybe it was just a story. But it's a really crazy situation. Like, I remember you go to the building. They have this, you know, very clear exit entrance sort of situation. You go in. And you have all your paperwork with you, like your passport, your vaccination pass, for vaccinations for everything. We call it the Impfpass, but like your vaccination pass. And then you have your printed out like proof of your appointment and stuff. And you go in, and the first thing that you encounter when you see like your entrance for your shot is this crazy sort of American airport style, like photography booth.
Mm-hmm.
You stand in front, you take your mask down, like, you know, lift your hat, take your glasses off, and they take a photo of your face,
uh-huh.
Which is really spooky, which is really like,
we are watching you.
Yeah.
You
know?
But I thought like, whatever, I want the shot.
Yeah.
And then you go through, they didn't put like a temperature gun to my head, but I have had that done before. I had that done in America at that CVS. Mm. I thought that was kind of crazy. And they also did the lady in America also did like a thing with my finger. She put like a little, looked like a little ladybug clip on my finger, and it did like my heart rate or something. I'm not sure why they even really need that. But anyway, at the center here in Munich, you take the photo and then you go through this really long like airport line, and then you approach the thing and you give the paperwork, and they, you know, they open it, they read, okay, that's you. Let me see you without your mask. Okay, fine. And then you go through. And if you've never had your first shot, you go left and not right. And when you go left, then you're in this like enormous warehouse with thousands of people in separate waiting lines.
No.
And you just pick a line, kind of like in the grocery store. You just pick a line. So I picked one, and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. And then you get to this booth where there's somebody behind a glass wall. And they're mostly young people, I saw, which is pretty interesting. And you give them all your stuff, and they ask you some questions, and then they ask, like, you know, why are you eligible? Why are you in this priority? They like figure out everything that who you are, and you are here because of this. And then you pass through them. Then you're at another table where you have to fill this paperwork out and say, like, I agree that I'll get this shot, and like, you know, whatever. I won't sue you if I have sickness or something after. No. Then you take that. And you take this final paperwork through another corridor. Then you go out to where you came in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you went left. Now you're coming out of that same left, and you're going right where some people are already going. Now you're going where people are getting their second shot. So you go in there, and then you follow these lines. There's a line for AstraZeneca, which was like only people over 60. Then you have this middle line, which is like BioNTech, Pfizer, and Moderna. And that's pretty open. Like, anybody can walk through. And the first shot, it was really busy. So I was waiting in line for a while, got to the front. And then you're at these little closed off sort of tents and booths where someone was like, okay, sounds good. Go to number 13. You look at number 13, the doors are numbered, and you see someone kind of like waving you over. So I go down, sit in this tiny little booth, like no bigger than a bathroom, like a very small little booth. You sit down. And then the first interaction, actually, both vaccination interactions, everything was in German, but I think I handled it okay. And then the lady was just like, you know, do you have allergies to this? Are you sick with this? You know, blah, blah, blah. Everything was cool. Gave the first shot. And the first shot, just to finish that first story, when you leave, then you go to a waiting room. You sit there for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like a Steven Spielberg movie. You're in this insanely huge warehouse with these perfectly evenly spaced out chairs, and you just sit and you just wait.
No,
but that first shot, and then you can leave after that. And that first shot, I felt so high. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And we didn't really get if maybe I just felt so elated that I finally had my shot, that maybe I just felt so happy that I had my shot. But I don't think that was it, because we had to run chores and stuff. We had to go to IKEA. We had to go like pick some stuff up and like assemble some stuff. And I was just so like in such a positive, happy sort of like, as if I took like a pill or something, like so happy.
Okay.
And it was really surprising. And the next day is kind of like when you've partied the day before. So my body had like produced all this dopamine and I was like really happy and excited and adrenaline. And then the next day was like the adverse effect, which is I felt so depressed and so empty. Oh, and no. So like, I didn't feel sick. I didn't want to throw up. I wasn't nauseous, but I felt kind of like, you know, just kind of like down and like sad and like.
I didn't feel anything at all. I didn't even feel my arm really.
Nothing.
So I feel my arm.
You felt like that. You have arms.
I have arms. I have both arms. But because I know it from other vaccinations and a lot of people had it with COVID too.
Yeah.
And it always depends on where they hit you with the needle, how it sits in the muscle, etc.
My doctor threw it from across the room. I think he's good at darts.
And it can hurt for a few days if they don't hit the right spot or anything. So I guess the doctor hit it pretty smooth. And I didn't even feel that. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
To be fair, though, what was funny about that second shot was that I was warned by everybody
that the second one is
like horrible. I was warned, like, my parents felt really sick. My friend Lindsay here in Munich felt really sick. Another couple of friends were like, hey, prepare yourself. You know, you're going to need to, you know, you're going to have to lie down, prepare yourself with snacks, get something good to watch. You're going to need to be in bed for 2 or 3 days.
No.
Like Maria's husband, Daniel, was just out, you know. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be crazy. I'm really nervous. You know, I have that week when I got that second shot, I had so many things to do. There was like shows and traveling and podcasting and like all the stuff. I needed to have my voice. I needed to have my brain and be ready. And I was really anxious about it. And then I went in, got the shot, didn't feel high, didn't feel like good.
No.
I just felt normal. And then I had zero side effects. I felt nothing.
That's nice.
It was crazy.
That's nice. Yeah, but that's something that, I don't know, that really annoys me is all this this talk about this, and I find it so funny with rumors, etc., with stuff like that. I don't know if it's, don't think it's just a German thing, but like how quickly people think that stuff is true. Like I heard so many people that all told me, yeah, with this vaccination supplier, you're gonna have these and that issues.
Yeah,
like with Astra, you could have this, and with BioNTech, it's after the first vaccination, the second one is fine, and with BioNTech, it's the other way around, that it hits you so bad, and then you have people telling all kinds of stories, and people believe it because, to be honest, we don't know anything of this. Like, okay, we probably both heard about a few people that didn't feel good after their second vaccination.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, first of all, not so unnormal.
It's not so uncommon for vaccinations.
Compared to other vaccinations.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know, what annoys me and what I don't get is why people feel the need to discuss so much about it. Because I'm like, okay, I really want to get the vaccination because I don't want to get COVID.
Right.
And I know that it could be that I might feel sick for a day or two or three, or I don't know. And if that, maybe it, I don't know.
Maybe that's the case.
Maybe that's the case. Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't want to talk so much about it. That's what I don't get. Why people feel the need to talk so much and speculate so much about this vaccination is going to do that and it's going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
is that similar in the US? Because that's where we started originally, talking about your US trip and how casually people get their vaccination there.
I mean, I guess one thing to consider probably is that all of this is so new and uncertain for like everybody in the world.
No.
You know, so like that's the, you know, like Corona and the Corona vaccine is like the one or two things that all of a sudden everybody on the planet, except for existing, has in common.
No.
So for me, it makes sense. Like everybody who's going to be taking the vaccine or someone who knows somebody who gets sick or somebody knows somebody who felt bad from the vaccine or like, oh, which one did you get or whatever? Like it's the one thing that everybody can talk about. So for me, it makes sense that it's going to come up and people are going to tell stories about it and share their experience, how they're doing it. For me, that's not so annoying because I can kind of get like, it's also new.
I mean, sure. So I get that. But what really annoys me is how much people
like the fear
give about those rumors. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, as I mean, like, yeah, sure. It's. I think it's a normal thing for human. We are empathic, like beings, and yeah. Like it could make you think if a close family member or friend had problems after their vaccination, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But still, like, and that's also something that's so new because we discussed so much about fake news and conspiracies and people right. really giving a shit about science and stuff we as a society know and have elaborated, etc.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with that, I guess, because sure, it would also make me think. And I had it, like, my mom also felt super sick for 2 or 3 days after her second BioNTech shot.
Yeah.
Sure. But what really annoys me is how many people, after they have these conversations or hear of someone that had some issues,
right,
like, say, okay, then I don't want this. I don't want this vaccination. I want another supplier or anything.
Okay. Yeah, that's
like this huge. That's, yeah. I don't know if people have heard about this in the States, but this huge Astra bullshit.
The AstraZeneca thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, the percentage of people that felt like ill to an intense extent or. Maybe we can even Google it really quick. Yeah. But I think that the ratio of people that got it under 60 and the amount of people that I don't want to go as far as to say like died, but like got pretty sick from it was something like under 10 out of millions of people.
Yeah. Like the thing we talked, I just looked for the word in English, is that there were cases reported this spring of people having serious issues with thrombosis in certain veins.
What is thrombosis?
I just checked, and it's in English, it's thrombosis.
But what is thrombosis? I mean, it's still a technical term. I might not know what that is. is it when your veins play a very annoying brass instrument?
No, it's like a... I'm not sure how to explain this in English, but when you're to all people who are experienced in
in
medicine and anything, sorry for that. I just tried to my best to break it down in English. Thrombosis is like when your blood in your blood
like blood clots when it
yeah exactly
ah,
blood
okay, clots okay.
yeah that's it.
Okay.
And this can be super, and not like the typical ones you would imagine that older people get in their legs, etc.
Where you have those lumps,
yeah, and where you have to wear those kind of special socks, etc. For
yeah.
But in certain veins inside your head, etc. So that's a serious thing,
sure.
And there have been cases, but like you said, counted up to a million, it's been like 6 cases or something.
Which is
and
just,
sure, yeah. you should take that seriously. Etc. But what the media made out of it and what then was the general mindset of people was that like, this is the bad vaccination. They just fucked it up and it's just not as good as the other ones, etc.
Right.
And people and especially the EU mainly ordered AstraZeneca in the beginning.
Right.
And then for a second, and that was because in the US now you have a situation like you described as an example, what you've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
What I read in the US now, the United States are at a point where they have more vaccinations than people who want to get vaccinated.
They have more vaccines than people. Yeah, exactly.
And we had that in Germany for a moment. Everyone needed vaccinations,
right?
But a lot of the vaccines that were there were AstraZeneca, and people didn't want it anymore. And I thought from the beginning, hey, okay, we have to take those problems seriously. But first of all, we live in Germany, and there's also, and they came up pretty quick with cool things to overwatch how you're doing after the vaccination.
They monitor you.
Yeah, there's an app, for example, from the German vaccination, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like an app where you can report every day how, if you want to, you don't have to download the app, obviously. How you feel, etc. And transmit that data to also make the whole process better.
Like a big database they can see.
And if they see, or the algorithm sees, that you have certain symptoms that could be such things as a thrombosis, etc.
Yeah.
You immediately get a doctor contact. So here in Germany, you live in a system, in a medical system that really works good. So if anything happens and you don't feel good, you can find help.
You can tell them and they can help you.
Second, AstraZeneca was like, that's what I think. It was developed in Oxford, one of the world's best equipped
medical facilities,
universities in the world.
Yeah.
It has been checked by several independent institutions.
Yeah.
They have vaccinated Angela Merkel with it, the chancellor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was one of the symbolic things they did to promote AstraZeneca, because the people didn't want it.
Sure.
Vaccinate Angela Merkel with it.
Yeah.
And that's something that really annoys me at times. Like, out of all these talks about what this vaccination might do, etc., and we're not even talking about the conspiracy, like Bill's gonna chip us all, etc., all that stuff.
Right, that's the next level, yeah.
But starting with like
people being concerned,
I don't want that. I'd rather take a BioNTech or something,
because just avoid the vaccination.
Especially from a young perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I'm pretty privileged, and I still got in my how I feel, got vaccinated pretty early.
Yeah.
But there are so many young people who are definitely, the younger generations are, in Germany, one of the biggest losers of this pandemic. And who are waiting to get vaccinated, and the people who can get vaccinated to protect us all say, but I don't want that Astra thing.
But dude, I think it's bigger than that. I think it's bigger than just saying, I don't want AstraZeneca, but instead, I know people in Munich who are between 21 and 30, who have more than one, maybe even three, but like more than one current and consistent opportunities to be vaccinated through employment, through relationship, through circumstance. And I know them well, and as people I know, they don't want to take any vaccine.
That's the next level.
Because they have this fear, this paranoia of, I don't want to get vaccinated because, one, a common theme that's repeated a lot in the conversations I have with them is, I don't think there's enough research done about them. Two, what about women? What about what if it lowers fertility down the road, like in a few years? What if it makes it harder for people to have children?
Dude, fertility. Down in 3 to 4 years, if you don't make it that far because you die of COVID.
Well, that's
but
the thing.
We don't have to get to that discussion. Sorry, go
no,
on.
No, sure. But I mean, there's like itsy bitsy tiny little aspects, and like the thing is, when I talk to these people, I try to stay very calm and just ask. Like, it never works for me to get confrontational because, one, I never have enough information, and two, I always crack first. But two, to always ask, like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, why do you think that way? Try to find the points that I can connect to. And when they say things like, I'm scared that we don't know enough things about it, and that maybe in a few years it makes it really hard for us to have babies. You know, there's little things about that I can say, okay, you know, I know people that have struggled really, 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 really hard to have kids, and I get that concern. But there's also this other more logical part of me that's like, but wouldn't you, I mean, first off, isn't there plenty of research? Do you think Germany's going to give you fucking chocolate candy
No.
as a vaccination? And then two, For me, it's already like a deal breaker. Germany as like the most rule consistent country I've ever known,
no,
would not just give you something they're like, I don't know about.
Let's see.
And the second thing, the big factor for me is like, don't you care about other people?
Yeah.
Because it's not about you and about like, oh, I don't want to get it because I don't want to feel sick, or like, I don't want to, I don't know how it's going to react with me. And maybe someone had an adverse reaction to a vaccination to the flu or mumps or whatever when they were a kid and they were in the hospital for a couple of days. It's like, yeah, but you're fine and you're almost 30. And wouldn't you rather not kill other people?
Yeah.
Like, where's the understanding that this pandemic is not about you?
Yeah.
Where is that?
But that's also the thing with people like having these bullshit discussions about which vaccination supplier they like or rather not. Yeah. It's like how privileged we all are here.
Dude, have the choice.
Dude,
to have the choice at all.
What's wrong with people?
That's crazy.
To get to that point. That's the first point. That's also why, because I talked a lot about, because when I had to cancel my first appointment for vaccination, I had to go to the doctor to get a test for the vaccination center, because it is shitty if you cancel, because I would have had the appointment at 9 and I woke up at 5 in the morning feeling super sick.
Right.
And so it is shitty for them if you cancel your appointment that showed ahead.
Because they can't replace the shot.
Yeah,
right?
and they already like took the vaccines from the freezer, etc. Like right, there is right. a dose reserved for you, etc. Right. And so if you don't go, you should bring a test, because otherwise they're probably gonna kick you out of the system.
Oof. Okay.
Yeah, which I totally get, because
sense, yeah.
because you don't want to waste.
They don't want lazy people to. Yeah.
You don't want to. We're already short of vaccines. You don't want to waste any.
Right.
So I get that. And so I got to the doctor, and she was looking right at me, because I asked her for the test, and she was like, "How come you at your age have an appointment?" And I felt kind of guilty. And I had a lot of discussions about with people around my age that get the vaccination and kind of felt a certain form of shame. Like, yeah, I know I'm young and I'm already mm-hmm. vaccinated. I'm sorry for it. Basically.
Oh man, that's a kind of mindset. That's a bad mentality.
And I pretty early got to a point where I thought like, yeah, I don't wanna, because you already had people who made fake who lied in these formulas, etc., to get early vaccination. I don't want to be one of those people.
Right.
But I also don't want to feel guilty when I get it, because I did it for everybody.
Yeah,
like,
and you
every
did it,
person
yeah.
that is being vaccinated helps the society.
And it wasn't really even your choice to qualify.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you said, I gotta qualify, what can I do? It was like
yeah.
your job and your situation qualified you. So you're one of the lucky ones.
No.
You know, and if they ask you, why are you doing it? It was like, I got lucky. Yeah.
And then
you
I
know?
Think it would be even more dumb to not use
to
that
not
chance.
Do it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's the first point. And I totally go with you. Like this beautiful sentence, this pandemic is not about you. And the second thing, and it's also the thing with Astra, just do the math, and there have been professionals doing the math, like the percentage, no matter who you are, if you're old and had certain chronic issues with any disease or young and fit, whatever. In any way, the percentage of you dying of COVID is so much higher than having issues with these thrombosis.
Right, right.
Which
should say a plenty, because
yeah.
a lot of people are like, oh, I don't have to get the vaccine because the chances of getting COVID or whatever are like less than getting the flu. Well, if the chances of getting the flu are higher than COVID and the chances of getting blood clots is less than COVID, doesn't that do the math for you?
Yeah.
Is it like 0.00000001%?
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah. And then you're at the point of research, like
right.
we don't have enough research about COVID
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, I'm young and fit, I'm not going to have problems. And there have been
cases of people
dying completely.
Dude,
fit.
Olympic athletes,
yeah.
Olympic athletes bedridden
yeah.
and dying
yeah.
from this virus, because it's so unbelievably, it's first off, it's so unpredictable, and it's so hard to, like the only thin wall of protection that we have against this unknown thing that's affected the entire planet is this vaccination.
No.
And I'm so tired of people saying, you know, why would you need to get it? Why would I need to get it? Who's so worried about it? I'm young and fit. Dude, they're Olympic athletes got it.
No.
And one in particular, some very young, fit, I think 31-year-old swimmer died.
No.
Gold medal.
No.
You know, it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I realized that
it's crazy.
Freddie Toots Hibbert died of COVID last September, and that made me pretty sad.
Who was that?
The singer of Toots and the Maytals.
Oh, really? He died of COVID?
Yeah.
Dude, John Prine died of COVID, but he was quite old and a cancer survivor.
And one thing about the research, what I found pretty interesting, what a doctor told me who works at LMU Klinikum. So basically the research clinic / hospital of the university here.
Yeah.
Is that, people say there has not been enough research about the vaccination, but what she told me is what most people don't get.
Yeah.
There has never been nearly so much budget for research as for COVID.
Oh, sure.
Because it has been this one thing, this pandemic that hit all of the world. So everyone had an interest
in fixing it.
To get their money there and fixing it, probably also at some point making a business out of it, next thing.
Sure.
But like, there hasn't, for any vaccination, there has never been so much budget at the same time for research.
Right.
So sure, they don't have the long time research over years, etc.
Right.
But they can't do anything about that. Right. But for what they could have done within this short period of time, they never had the possibilities as they had now.
And I think
that's what I also didn't realize before.
I think the speed in which the vaccinations came out probably does scare some people, because they think that the government might have just thrown Windex and whatever protein powder into a jar and said, like, this is going to fix you.
No.
But in fact, it's really what you're saying, which is that there's never been enough budget and attention to one problem as much as there was to this. Imagine if they put that towards like climate control or something.
And that's the thing. And I don't want to get too deep in this discussion because I don't feel comfortable, and I really know too less about it, but you often hear discussions about, for example, like AIDS, that there are doctors saying, okay, we could have been, or we could be so much farther. We probably already could have eliminated AIDS if we would have the budget,
the same
and the
amount
interest of the industry.
Yeah.
Even before COVID, but we don't get it.
Right. And now they have all the money they need.
And I don't want to get too deep into that because I really,
I mean,
don't know so much about
this,
it. And it's I don't think it's us to lead these kind of discussions without any expert. But reverse that. Like, now there has been all of that budget,
right?
And it's interesting. But I still find it funny that
So,
in the States, you can get vaccinated so casually in any mall or...
I was going to say, like, long story short, I saw this guy. He got the vaccine, like, whatever.
That's crazy. And here it's such a hype.
Yeah, totally. What's the time we're at right now?
1:02.
1:02. Okay, cool. We can wrap it up soon, and then we should probably play some music, but...
I think that we can talk about that.
Yeah, sure.
We're going to play a show this Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. That comes out this week. This Saturday at the... What is it?
Theresienwiese.
At the Theresienwiese?
Riesels Kulturgarten.
That's it. Or Kreativgarten.
Kreativgarten, that's
it. Kreativgarten.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a creative garden?
There's music like the whole day. No, I can't imagine. I think the flowers are all painted different colors and stuff. But there's music the whole day from 2 o'clock on. And we have the headline slot.
When does it start? We haven't talked about that.
We play around 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, like 8:45, 9 we'll start. And the whole thing has to end at 10, and they gave us like a 60-minute slot.
So, nice.
Probably just before 9 we'll play. So if you are in the Munich area and you're a fan of the show, you should come down to the Theresienwiese, and it's free entry. It's a free show. come by, have a few beers, and maybe see your first concert since the pandemic. It's the first one I've played in like 18 months.
Dude.
Pretty spooked about it.
It's the first I played since our last gig as a band, which was in early November 19.
Early November 19.
And what's funny about this, or what we probably can tell people, is that this happened super spontaneously. Because we talked about probably there is going to be a show, but it's pretty short in July.
Yeah.
And then we'll see. And we then, still hope probably for a tour next year for the album, or I don't know.
I don't even know.
So we it wasn't our minds that, okay, or at least it wasn't my mind, okay, probably at some point you should start practicing because it could be...
Something could happen.
Over the summer... In the direction of this fall, it could be that we play our first concerts. And then, and that's the funny thing, you sent me a text message last week and just wrote, hey, how does the evening of the 26th look for you? And I first thought you meant an Artsy Fartsy Immigrant recording. I was like, damn, that's a Saturday. I'm not sure if I don't know. And I didn't really answer it. Then you wrote me again. Yeah, Mark can do, and Mark's a drummer, can do it. Can you do it? And I was like,
that's so funny
you
wanna, that I so, did so, specify.
So you want to rehearse on that day for the first time? Nice. Yeah, I mean, no, it's a show.
I should have.
And
really,
it's in 8 days.
I should have prefaced that. Yeah, I didn't even think that I didn't. I think my open thing was just like, are you free that night? But I should have said like, yo, there's a concert. Can you play it? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's crazy. It came really suddenly. Like, you know, you mentioned there was this, I've talked about it a couple times, but there's like this show in July and it was always up in the air again, like that last show, would it be with band or solo? And now it's like this short set with solo and there's like this interview and it's in Nuremberg and whatever. And I thought, okay, this would be cool. Like a nice little entryway back into the concert scene. And then all of a sudden, a couple of days ago, I get this text. There's like 2 days before I left America.
No.
I got this text from a stranger in German that was saying like, hey, don't worry. It's funny. They were like, don't worry, I'm not some crazy fan, which is a great way to start off a text message to a stranger.
Probably the person has seen the video episode with Georgie Fischer.
Yeah. Maybe so. It was like, hey, ich bin kein verrückter Fan. And I was like, okay, wow. But they were really nice, and they basically said, like, would you want to play a gig? And I just copied and pasted that to my booking guy and was like, let's find out what they want. And yeah, it's this person who runs this beer garden in Theresienwiese here in Munich, and it seems like a cool, chill, free entry. It might even be more of just like a background chill thing, which is cool for me because...
No. Haven't you checked about the whole organization and stuff?
I just saw the website.
I did a little bit of research, and it's kind of an... artists, and normally they do more like electronic music and stuff.
Mm.
It's a form of collective, and they have to spot at Theresienwiese. Like, they start this Monday, and it's gonna be a show every day until July 22nd.
I saw that it's a lot of bands playing.
And it's it's this kind of beer garden setup and stuff. But as far as I got it, it's like it is still about the art and the music that happens there. So we're not just some I don't know, beer garden band that entertains people that drink their humongously big beers there and and eat a breze, but it actually is a concert.
That's cool. There's a few, I think I have it here. I think it's probably a nice thing to do to mention who else is playing. Yeah, we have
Henny Hertz. I saw at
She's not playing the same day though.
No, but she plays there.
Crazy.
And that's how I found out that she still plays music.
I know that she moved to Mannheim.
Okay.
But I don't know if she moved back or not. So yeah, June 26th to 2021, starting at 2 p.m. There's Aliz, A-L-I-Z-Z, Deep World. Then there's a band called Bjorn Just.
Wait a second. I'm not sure if those are bands and if there are any other concerts than us.
Well, whatever it is, starts at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
There's no backline, so I figured it was either DJs
or
bands.
But it's not only bands. It's also like comedy and like visual artists showing their stuff, etc.
Oh, you know what? You're right, because it's like three names and then it says concert.
Jordan Prince.
Oh, you're right. So Aliz.
So I think we actually are the only music act.
Oh, that makes... Okay, that changes things then. So it might be the only music then. So yeah. It's Elise Deep
but
World...
But we're still the headliner in any case.
Sam Goku, and then us. Yeah, crazy. But I'm excited about it. I'm nervous about it. And if you're around, if you have a friend who's around and they want to see a concert, tell them to come on by. But I'll just end with this last story, which was from that test I was taking at that CVS. I remember I met this very, very, very nice, sweet, funny lady, and she tested this thing with my finger, and then she did the fever thing with my head, and then she did my nose swab, and then she was like, just hang around for a few minutes. We're going to give you this... results. And I said, okay, cool. So then I waited around, and within this time frame, a lot of crazy things happened. Like, I was just walking around the store. Some guy comes up to me and was like, hey man, I just got to tell you, like, I'm really like, I'm telling the truth, which is a great way to start off anything. He's like, I'm telling the truth, I promise. But like, my car, like, I'm locked out of it. And my friend is like, I can't, I can't get into it. I need $60. And I was like, dude, what about me? Like, screaming $60 to you. And I was like, I'm really sorry, I just don't have that. And then he storms out of the building, and then I go up to a lady at the door, and I was like, did you see that guy? Because I wanted to see if he actually was telling the truth, but he wasn't, of course. And she was like, what happened? Did he steal something? I was like, no, he asked me for $60. And then this other guy who's walking out, he's putting his AirPods back in, and he goes, he asked me the same thing. And I told them both, I was like, he should have just asked everybody for like $2. And they were like, yeah, why did he just ask everybody for $2? And then finally they were like, Mr. Prince. And I went back to the room, and the lady was like, your results are going to be here soon. My colleague is bringing it over from the printer. And I was like, well, can you tell me what it is? And the lady goes, well, I'm really not supposed to tell people what the results are before they get the paperwork. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. And she goes, but and I went, what is it? And she goes, I mean, it's negative, but I'm not supposed to tell you. And I was like, you can't do that. You can't just hold that suspense on me. I think she
but
liked
that's funny
it,
but talking
that.
About to round that up, because you said regarding vaccination, like in Germany, you would imagine there are a lot of rules for everything. And now you tell me that they are not allowed in the US to tell the results before they get the paperwork. You know what my experience was at one of these test centers around here?
What's that?
That they just shout out your last name and your result out of the window.
Bartscheider,
negative. And then you move on.
Dude.
And you get the paperwork afterwards.
Imagine if it's like Müller, positive. I'm like, oh no.
I don't think they shout the to avoid any panic to
Somebody's like, but oh, still, that's me.
But still, I find it pretty funny that you tell me in the US they're not allowed to tell people, and here they just shout it out of a window.
I mean, she still did, though, you know? That's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There was a lot of COVID-related stuff. I guess next week...
Well, next week we'll have played the show.
Next week we will have played the show, and we will have a guest again.
And we'll have our new video episode.
We're going to have a new video episode.
Yeah.
There have been some changes about the studio. We'll tell you off the air, and people are going to see next week, I would say.
Oh, man, how much has changed since I've been gone? It was 8 days. It was 8 days. God. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening, and this was super fun to be with you on the show again, and we'll be back next week with a video episode. And again, if you're around Saturday, June 26, come hang out at the Theresien Wiese. Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye.
What a wonderful episode. If you enjoyed today's episode and you like our show, please go to Apple Podcasts, give us a subscription or a review or a comment. It really helps new listeners find our show. You can also follow us on Instagram at Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. We're also now on Facebook and on YouTube and on Twitter at Fartsy Artsy. No, at Artsy Fartsy Pod. We changed it at Artsy Fartsy Pod. Woo! So, yes, and if you want to financially support the show, you can go to patreon.com/JordanPrince, and where you can submit for as low as $3 a month some money to help us get this show bigger and better just for you. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Look out, baby. The Saints are coming through. And it's all over now. Baby blue. Thank you.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.